Welcome to the World War One at Home podcast with me, Helen Mark. For terms and conditions, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. By 1918, the last year of the war, so many men had left home to fight that farmers faced a struggle to bring in the flax harvest. As a result, the Flax Society asked the scouting movement for help. 50 boys from Belfast answered the call, heading to the station to catch the train to the country and days of grueling fieldwork. They set up camp at Tully Murray in County Down and spent 2 weeks doing what some said was the hardest work of their lives, pulling and stooking the flax. Andrew Totten follows in the footsteps of the flax scouts.
We're standing at Dundella Flats near Strandtown, which is today the site in Oakland Avenue of the 10th Belfast Scout Hall. But back at the time of the First World War, it was also the site of their headquarters, the stables at Dundella Villas, which is where C.S. Lewis had been born back in 1898. And it was the first scoutmaster, Harry Keown, who was a first cousin of C.S. Lewis. So here in this site, in the stables, is where so much of that war work, those war efforts, were being planned. To the likes of Tully Murray at Downpatrick, the scouts would have set off from here at Dundella Villas, heading down on Newton Arch Road to the Knock train station. Of course, if you look at the map of the train lines as they existed at that stage, you can almost plot where the scouts would have gone to camp. By 1918, so many men had gone off to fight at the front that simply the business of bringing a harvest in was proving difficult. Hence the Flax Society, in the summer of that year, asked scouts to come down from Belfast to assist with bringing in the flax harvest itself. Some 50 boys would have set off on the trains from Belfast, got off at the little halt at Tully Murray, some of them carrying their tents and whatnot on a trek cart, moved out and struck camp, pitched the tents, and were there for some 2 weeks, pulling and stooking the flax. And backbreaking as it would have been, even for accustomed farm labourers, for these city boys, even though they were scouts and well used to living outdoors, just that 2 weeks of bent double, pulling these flax plants up by the roots, because they had to get a grip on them, get the roots themselves out of the ground. The whole idea being to keep the fibres as long as possible. And then the business of stooking them, wrapping them in bundles, setting these little bundles upright in rows. But again, you couldn't just leave them lying flat to dry in the sun. And covering some 15 acres in that 2 weeks. One of the boys, when he was in his 80s, I met some 20 years ago, and he'd kept a few little snapshots from that 2 week summer camp, that work camp. He clearly treasured them, he'd worked hard, but I think, like many who were involved within those wartime harvests, enormous memories of fun and friendship as well. Many of them had older brothers, patrol leaders, scouts who'd been there just a few years before them, who by this stage had been off fighting at war for some 4 years. That first flush of enthusiasm that had been there in 1914 had obviously long since gone, but many of them would have had brothers who by this stage in fact would have been injured or killed from just that one little troop, the 10th Belfast troop. Some 65 scouts went off, including their scout leaders, to fight in the likes of France, but further afield as well. And some 7 of them did not return. Now that's a proportion which actually broadly reflects what happened across the wider scout movement. It's reckoned that something like 80,000 scouts from the British Isles served in the forces during the First World War, of whom perhaps 8,000, in other words, 1 in 10, did not return. Linen and the uses to which it was put, clearly everything from bandages to clothing, but I think of particular significance during this period was its use in terms of some of the early aircraft being used within the Royal Flying Corps. That had a particular connection to the 10th Scouts as well. One of the scoutmasters, a man by the name of Sidney Hanna, was an officer in the Royal Flying Corps, actually was captured by the Germans and spent much of the war in a prisoner of war camp. Another 10th scout by the name of Henry Joy McCracken was a test pilot for the Royal Flying Corps who died of dysentery in Egypt in 1917. That particular man you might recognise by the name Henry Joy McCracken, connected to a much more famous Henry Joy McCracken of the United Irishmen. But those soldiers who fought abroad, and of course 7 of them dying abroad in places as far apart as Flanders and Gallipoli and indeed Egypt itself, they kept in contact with the boys back home and with the troop back home. Their thoughts were rarely far away.
McMordy Scout Hall in Belfast. To hear more stories and find out more details about the war, go to bbc.co.uk/World War I.